Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is overcoming insecurity. Could it be that your insecurity is directly related to your judgmental attitude? Well, it was for me. Today, we're going to talk about what I've recently learned. Hey, Drew, it's time to advertise.
This is my favorite part of each podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to advertise the book any longer. Nobody cares.
I mean, I think you've sold a few copies at this point.
It's done. It's done. Put a fork in it, because right now we've got a new thing to push on you,
tell us, great listener. Please tell us.
No, I can't, because some of these people are fast-forwarding right now.
That's true.
No, stop fast-forwarding.
Stop the scroll.
Okay, now you're ready. Here's what we're going to advertise to you. That is the official membership of the Idea Network.
So originally it was called the Charter Membership.
Charter Membership was
limited to like 100 people, right?
Yeah, and everybody, and only those who joined up in 2021. You say, man, I want to be a Charter Member. Well, too bad.
You can no longer be a Charter Member. However, you can be a part of the membership program.
That's right, an official member of the Idea Network. You say, but I listen to the podcast. You're not a member. Yeah, but I'm in that Facebook group. Not a member. Yeah, but I come to Idea Day. Not a member.
I bought swag off the store.
Not a member.
Yeah.
But that swag, by the way, is awesome stuff.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Official members are those who are joining the 2021 Charter Members in our membership program. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a monthly fee that goes toward the functioning of the Idea Network and allows the Idea Network to do the things that it does. With that membership, this is what you're purchasing. You're purchasing a weekly virtual roundtable with myself and other ministry leaders for the purpose of creating an environment to share collaborative ideas between Idea Nights, Idea Days, and Idea Summits. These virtual roundtables have been a refreshing time for so many of us. But not only that, you receive a swag box with all of the greatest merchandise Idea Network has to offer and the ability to get involved in member-exclusive events. Look, we want you to be supportive of the network, and you want to be supportive of the network, but there's a lot that comes along with it, and we want you to be involved with the official membership of the Idea Network. All you have to do is go right to the website and look up membership and join us soon.
IdeaNetwork.church. Sign up there.
Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. Thanks so much for stopping by and spending your time with us today. We're going to be talking about overcoming insecurity today. I'm sure nobody out there has ever struggled with this, ever, right?
I'm not sure that I ever have. I mean, when I look in the mirror, all I can see is greatness and goodness, beauty and brains.
It's great. Yeah. Me too. You know, I mean, I look at the mirror and, you know, just see just flawlessness. Uh-huh. Abounding everywhere.
Correct. So, correct.
And the people that I interact with daily, I'm just surprised they don't thank me after just talking to them after every conversation.
They don't? See, this is an assumption that because it happens with me, I assume that's what happens with most people.
I'm starting to develop carpal tunnel from all the autographs. Is that you as well? Or
well, it's okay. The paparazzi that gets me.
Got it.
Wherever I go,
people just permanent Ray-Bans on all the time for you.
Here's the thing. The masks were irritating until I realized it actually helped my anonymity.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
And now I'm like, oh, good. People don't stalk. In fact, recently, the last 2 years, people have not been stalking me like they once did.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you've finally got that work-life balance. So
maybe awesome. You're out there and you're like us. You're not like us, I should say. And you're not nearly as cool and famous and amazing.
Sure.
It's
a funny thing to think about, but
it is a funny thing to think about. And you know what's funny to me is the people that I've been pastoring or come across that have more wealth, have more fame, and are more well known in their career circles. That it's funny that you would think that money, fame, wealth, power would bring a sense of security.
Yeah, and freedom, right? Like that's what it's supposed
freedom,
to be.
But it doesn't. It doesn't. And that's the point of what we're talking about today, is that security can be found, but it might not be where you're looking. And so today we want to talk about the importance of developing true security and overcoming insecurity in your life. But before we do,
we're going to get to
some things that are coming up around the horizon. We've been talking about this in every podcast. If you're a regular listener, you've heard this a lot of times by now. If you're brand new, we want to tell you about some exciting events that are happening this fall, coming up in March.
Yeah.
Two events, Idea Days.
You just said fall, March.
Did I say fall? I meant spring.
Yeah.
That's where I know. Where my brain's at.
Yeah, but I wanted to point it out, and yeah. I don't want you to edit it.
Sure.
I just want people to know that you make mistakes. Overcome insecurity.
Yeah. I say a lot of, hey, thanks. We'll get to surrounding yourself with people who know and love you
okay,
in a second.
Okay, stop. That's point number two.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get there. But anyway, Josh, we're going to have some events coming up in March that people should go to. Can you tell us a little bit about
4 weeks from today, wherever you're listening to this, you're driving in your car, you're on the treadmill. 4 weeks from today, you could be in Tampa.
Now, why would I want to be in Tampa?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's Tampa. And secondly, that's where the Idea Day is going to be. So there's an Idea Day coming up in Tampa 4 weeks from today. Now, I'm going with my daughter this time around. I've decided I'm going to go to all Idea Days with somebody in my family or one of my team members here at the church. And so this one I'm bringing Savannah to. And Savannah, why? Because an hour away from Tampa is Disney World. So I'm going down on Monday, going to be there all day for Idea Day, and I'm not flying home till Friday. So I'm going to be heading over to see Mickey Mouse with my daughter Savannah. She's 16 years old, and we are going to just have a great time going to a couple parks for a couple days.
And you're not a big fan of Mickey at all, so I'm sure you're just going to suffer through that. But
do I need to take my ears off right now? Are you making fun of the fact that I'm wearing my Mickey ears?
While recording this podcast.
Recording this podcast.
That's true. No, but
I like how you said, that's true. Because it's so obviously not what's happening. But yeah. I love the fact that people are picturing me in my Mickey Mouse ears.
I could see it. So
right now, my Thor hammer.
Yeah.
I've got my Thor hammer.
And then 1 week later from Tampa, there is also another Idea Day in Chicago.
Yeah.
That people could also go to. These are not meant to be competing events. We're really trying to host events that, are closest to you. And you can make a choice which one you want to go to.
Yeah, a lot of the same sessions are going to be at both events. And I'm equally excited about Chicago because I'm going to see a lot of friends in the Midwest that I'm not going to be able to see down in the South. And I'm going to be bringing my other daughter. I have two for this purpose, I guess. I'm going to bring my other daughter, Scarlett, up to Chicago because she wants to do some filming. She's a YouTube star, as you know.
In front of the bean? She's going to go in front of the bean?
She wants to do some stuff. We want to do some stuff in Chicago. Without the rest of the family. In reality, what she really, really, truly wants to do is try to catch Hamilton.
Oh, got it.
Because she's a huge Hamiltonite or whatever you call it.
That's cool.
Yeah, she loves Hamilton. So we're going to go up there for a couple days after Idea Day. And yeah, man, both of these events, it's a great opportunity. And this is what I always say about an Idea Day. To get fresh ideas, make good friendships, and have a little time for you. You and one of your teammates, you and your spouse, one of your teenagers, get away, have a great time, and come to an Idea Day, and then take a little time for yourself.
So how do you sign up? If you go to ideanetwork.church, you can sign up to any of the events that are there. While you're at it, we always plug the store. I actually love the store. I bought a few things from there, beanie, hats, that kind of stuff. Pastor loves his sweatshirt/hoodie.
Yeah, I wear that sucker every week, every single week.
ideanetwork.church/store. You can go there and purchase stuff so you can be in some swag at some of these events. You can also purchase your book from there digitally.
That's right, Quest for Friendship. You can pick the digital book up there or the physical book, or you can go to Amazon and pick it up there as well. Great opportunity because it's a fantastic book. I'm not insecure.
It's
about
a good book. Okay. Yes. You can say that as an author, because you're the author, It's a really good book on friendship. You should pick it up.
You should pick it up. I agree with that. Insecurity?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay. So here's the thing. I think it's really difficult to actually accomplish a lot for Christ when we're struggling with insecurity. And here's why. Here's why. Here's my proposition. When you're so insecure, you are completely and utterly self-focused because you're so inward. Everything is about how you feel and how you don't feel right. And when we're inwardly focused, it's very difficult to be outwardly focused. And the ministry that we're called to is all outward focused. So the question is, The question is how do we actually truly overcome insecurity? So, you know, in our conversations, we've developed three thoughts that we want to share with you. It's going to be a shorter podcast, and we want you to really contemplate these. And we don't ask you to do this, but after the podcast is over, we would love for you just to turn it off and sit with the Lord, our Master, our Savior, yours too. Just sit with him for a couple minutes and ask yourself this question. Of these three things, what do I need to start doing?
Sure.
So what are these three things we're talking about?
Well, I think before we get there, you know, we always try to value transparency, you know, on the podcast and that kind of stuff. I don't think we need to list every insecurity that you and I have, you know.
But I'll list yours, you list mine, then we'll walk away really insecure.
I think it might help, you know, our listeners at least share a few that we go through on a daily basis. But, you know, for me, I'd say insecurity is, you know, a lot of people don't know my ministry background. As well as, you know, my family, as mentioned to me, maybe they're acquainted with your ministry, Josh. But I think an insecurity for me is always trying to think that I'm never good enough. You know, I've done a lot of things in my life and I've been given a lot. You know, the Bible says to him much is given, much is required. And I think at the end of my life, I want to make sure that like something mattered, you know, besides just having kids or, you know, spending time with God every single day. But I want work to be meaningful and accomplish, you know, great things in life. So I think the insecurity is like, I'm not good enough or I'm not going to be accepted or something like that. So
yeah,
I struggle with that a lot.
Yeah. For me, I would say sometimes I work too hard. I care too much. And sometimes I can be too invested in my job, just like Michael Scott. And what I just did there is called humor for deflection.
Sure.
Right. Here's the reality. Obviously, there's a lot of insecurities that all men have. For me, really, for years, there was an insecurity about my size. There was an insecurity about my height. There was an insecurity about not being able to do things a lot of other kids did, play sports. I was never a team sport guy. I was never athletic. I was not athletically inclined. There were other things that were really super interesting to me, like comics.
Yeah.
Things that were super interesting to me. Like I loved baseball cards, but I like baseball cards because they had a value and you could sell them. And so I loved that business side of
it. Not because you knew these like sports heroes.
I could care less about who they played or who they were and how they played, other than the fact the better they played, the more valuable the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card was.
Yeah.
And so those were the things that interest me. I remember I was always into movies. Movies was my thing, right? So I read Jurassic Park and Lost World by Crichton, you know, after the first movie came out. Loved it. Picked them up at the library, read through both of them. I love to read and I love movies and I love stories. And I remember I bought at Target that had just opened up, probably 13 years old. I bought with my very own money that I'd earned from selling baseball cards, a Jurassic Park t-shirt. Like, oh man, this is going to be awesome. And I wore it home to my, this is before Big Bang Theory. This is before nerd is cool, right?
Yeah, right.
So suddenly nerd is cool. And it wasn't then, it was just nerd is nerd.
Yeah.
And I came home to my brother and we were going to camp that summer. And he's like, what did you buy? I said, I bought this Jurassic Park t-shirt. I'm going to wear it to camp. So proud of it. He's like, you're not wearing that to camp. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can't wear that. He loves me. He's trying to protect me from getting thrown into a trash can again. By the way, true story, multiple times. Have you ever been thrown in a dumpster?
I've never been thrown in a dumpster before.
This is something that has not happened to me once. It's happened to me multiple times.
Okay.
Yeah. Head first. It's always fun. And I remember him looking and say, I said, well, what do I wear? He went to his closet. He pulled out an old Chicago Bulls jersey, right? Because, you know, it's the 90s and you have to love the Chicago Bulls. He said, this is what you're going to wear so I don't have to, you know, fish you out of the dumpster again. So, you know, I did. And those are the moments in life that you begin to question yourself and whether or not you're comfortable with yourself and whether or not you like yourself and whether or not you can actually develop a true sense of confidence. And that's the problem. I think a lot of us as ministry leaders are unable to accomplish what God is calling us to because we're not confident in who we are and what we're called to accomplish. Maybe it goes back to childhood. Maybe it goes back to our mistakes that we've made, failures that we've what people have told us that we must be
sure
in order to fit in. And so it's a lot easier to sit back and be passive rather than aggressive, yeah, going after. I just read Tony Evans' book, Kingdom Man, again, amazing.
Great book.
Where he talks about going after it. Like, you are the guy that can do that. I'm never going to be Tony Evans. But the idea of being secure and having confidence and going after it is knowing that I'm okay being me and Tony Evans can go ahead and be him.
Yeah. This is not a child psychologist podcast, but it's interesting to me. Like, so many things that, like, physical stature, right, is such a big deal growing up.
Right.
But like, it literally does not matter at all now. Like,
yeah,
you could be a CEO of a company as a 5'6", 5'8", whatever person you are, or a 6'3" person. Like, it doesn't matter.
No. Well, I'll tell you this. It matters in one way. I'm so glad every time I sit in an airplane, I am so thankful. Every time I sit in an airplane, I'm like, God, you made me compact and powerful, baby. I'm thankful for the wonderful... what full size that I am.
You know, mine was like, I remember distinctly on my list for a wife, right, in college. This was Christina, I constantly joke about this. Like, on my list was like, one of the criteria was like, my wife had to be able to play the piano.
Nice.
And I'm like, that has literally nothing to do with my life now.
No.
And like, if God would have given me what I wanted, quote unquote, it wouldn't have led me to the great life I have now with my four kids and my wife, you know? So it is funny how we, you know.
So occasionally, do you look at her and just like roll your eyes and be like, pfft.
No, don't. I just put on Taylor Swift and call it a day. Like, it's fine.
I love it. He's over there in the corner shaking it off. Yeah. Shake it off.
All right. How do we overcome insecurity? What's the first thing that you recommend
for
people to how they do this?
The first one that we recommend is, and it's going to seem trite, right? You're going to sit there and be like, of course, you got to get through it. But it's absolutely essential. First thing to overcome insecurity is you must spend time with Jesus. To truly overcome insecurity, you've got to spend time with the one and see the one who sees you. There's nothing better than being with somebody who knows you and actually likes you. Like, here's what's amazing. Wherever you're sitting, hear this. Jesus knows every single thing about you, and he actually likes you. And he likes you and he loves you and he loves you and he likes you. And those are two different things and both the same thing all at the same time. He loves you and he likes you and he knows every... What? Why is it that we prioritize the phone when we wake up in the morning? And why is it we prioritize returning that text message when we go to sleep at night? And why is it that we prioritize running upstairs to check on our kids? And why is it that we prioritize looking over to make sure she's okay or he's okay? And the question is, why is it that we don't prioritize being with the one who knows you and likes you, spending time with him? See, secular psychology, I think, motivational speaking, I think, would tell you that your priority is to look in the mirror and to say to yourself, you can, you will, you're great. And I think we all understand that is just so much fluff. Psyching yourself up as if you're going to convince yourself that there's something inside of you that you didn't see before, there's emptiness there. But instead, go and talk to the eternal being that created all things. Now that's amazing. Created everybody. And for some reason, he looks at you and he's like, I really like you. That's really, really cool.
I was having a conversation with a gentleman recently, and we were praying together, and then we just started a discussion, and I ended my prayer with, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen. And he's like, that's weird. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I've never thought about saying we love you to God. And especially for our audience, this is not a new concept, but all of our love for God is always a response for his love towards us first. Mm. So no matter how many steps we take towards Christ in obedience or trying to show favor or show love back to him, he initiated that work already.
Yeah.
It's already a response. So to your point, there might be days as a minister or somebody who's trying to do what's right for God that you think, I'm the only one. Nobody likes me. I'm reading all the tweets about my sermon on Sunday. It was horrible. But no, like, Jesus is the one who knows you and loves you, and all of our love can only be a response to him initiating it first.
I kind of gave an illustration in our church service about this a couple months ago. I asked Jason, I said, Jason, hey, do you think it'd be possible to get a vending machine, a snack machine on the platform for the sermon? He looked at me, he's like, absolutely, no problem. Come to find out, it wasn't as simple as like moving our snack machine up on the platform. He had to track one down in like some dump somewhere. He had to get it like partially restored. He had to get it transported. And he went through this whole mess. He's amazing. He finally gets it to the platform And we utilize this illustration to say this, to say, if you want an apple, right? And you go to this machine and you're like, okay, put your $1.50 in there. And you look around for an apple and it's not there. How frustrated are you going to be? You say, man, okay, forget the apple. I want a banana. You look around, you know, there's no banana. And you look around and you're like, oh, you know what I really want is an avocado. There's no avocado there. And you think to yourself, but what I really want is, and the problem is you can't get that from there. Mm-hmm. Like if you want that, you have to go somewhere else for what you're looking for. I think one of the problems when it comes to security is that instead of spending time with Jesus, where we find security and validation, is that we're going to the wrong place for security and validation. This is why we rush home as ministers and we check with our wife first. What is the sermon? How would you like the sermon? And what you're looking for from her, she may be able to only occasionally and temporarily give you the fix of what you're actually wanting. And that is a sense of, okay, I did well and I am good and I am liked. You can't get that from there. When it comes to our spouse, I think wives do this to husbands all the time. They want their husband to constantly be validating their personhood. But the problem is you can't get permanent validation from there. That machine doesn't have it. And so we overstress our wife, we overstress our husband, we overstress our kids. What I need from you is to validate that I'm a good human being. If you look to your kids to validate that you're a good human being, you are going to be in for a very sad life. Mm. So then, who brings that validation and security? Well, maybe my job will give it to me. Well, good luck. Maybe what they'll give you after 40 years of really intense service is a watch. And now they don't even give you a watch when you retire. So who is going to give you validation and a sense of security? Who's going to help you build that confidence? The person is Jesus Christ. And I've come to a place in my life where I begin to look around and say, you know what? I know what I'm needing. I know what I need inside. It's validation and security, confidence that flows from that. And I don't think I can get that from there. I look at Heather, can't get that from there. She looks at me, can't get that from there. I can't get that from you, Drew. I can't get that from the congregation. I can't get that from a larger audience. I can't get that from a number on a spreadsheet. I can't get that from the Idea Network. I can't get that from an email. What I can get that from is time on my knees in front of the book of Psalms, when I'm studying the Gospels, when I'm going through my prayer list, when I'm talking to Jesus. That's when I walk away and say, you know what? I spent some time with the one who likes me. He likes me and he loves me and he loves me and he likes me. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
And that's a resource that is limitless, right? I think you try to go, like you mentioned, some of those other resources like your spouse, your kids, right? Whatever validation you try to get from them eventually will run out, no matter how good it is.
So and good, so true.
Christ, it's a limitless resource.
Man.
So you can always tap into him for more, and he'll never disappoint. So the first point for overcoming insecurity is spending time with Jesus. What's our next point here?
Okay, here's the second one. And like I said, just quick thoughts here. The second one, spend time with Jesus. Number two, surround yourself with people who know you and like you. The first one is go to Jesus, who already knows you and likes you. The second one is surround yourself with people who know you and like you. Here's my question to you, my dear brother or sister listening to this. Why in the world do you insist on winning the approval of those who don't like you? What are we doing over here? We get to a place where once we are somehow aware that somebody doesn't like us, we're obsessed with those few people who don't like us. So what we're going to do is spend the rest of our life attempting to get approval from that church member or that ex-church member or that deacon or that ex-deacon or that minister across town or a former mentor of ours, somebody that was important to us 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And you're just obsessed with this idea that this person doesn't like you, and this insecurity begins to develop, or you're unwise enough to surround yourself with a bunch of people in your life and in your ministry and your community and your network who don't like you, and so you have to conform to be who they are so that you continually are in this cycle of trying to please all these people. And here's the reality. They know you, and there's a lot of things they don't know about you, and they don't even like the person they know, let alone all the things they don't know about you. And here's my question to you, bro. Listen to me, bro. Why are you trying to please them? Why are you around them? They don't like you. Could it be that maybe your sense of insecurity is the fact that you're surrounding yourself with people who only know a little bit about you, and what they know they don't like anyway? They're trying to conform you to some other image. Maybe you should surround yourself with people who know you and like you.
There's a quote I like that says, go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. So I think about, we do this in the secular world too, like with people at work, you know, and it's like, maybe with like, you know, a year's worth of focus, intense effort, and one-on-one conversations and meetings and promotions and all this kind of stuff, they might like you more, but they're not going to like you.
Yeah.
And they don't care to know you. So I think picturing the end game, like, what is the goal? What's your end game? Like, do you want them to kiss the ring? Like, do you want them to invite you to a conference? Like, what is it? Right. And at the end of the day, to your point, if you go to people that truly celebrate you just for who you are,
yeah,
they're going to love you a whole lot more than somebody who you think might love you for a fleeting moment.
So you might be asking yourself, okay, what do I do with that? I know how to spend time with Jesus. How do I change this perspective of other people around me? And that's what's really tough, right? You can make the decision to get up and spend time with Jesus tomorrow morning, and it'll help you tremendously. But then if you spend the rest of the day and the rest of the week and the rest of the month and the rest of the year surrounding yourself with people who do not like you and do not know you, you're going to continue to struggle with insecurity and a lack of confidence. And a lack of confidence meaning you're not going to accomplish what Christ has called you to. So what do you need to do? Hey, this part's tough. You might need to break up with some people. You might, and it doesn't have to be harsh. It just means maybe you don't return phone calls. Maybe you don't return emails. Maybe you're just kind of done. You're done being controlled. You're done being manipulated. You're done. Now, they might have to frame it in the sense that they're done with you because you've gone a different direction or whatever that might be. But in reality, for your own soul's sake, your own ability to enjoy your life, maybe there needs to be an action step. And the action step is, I don't have to live for the approval of others when, number one, I have the approval of Christ, and number two, there are other people out there who absolutely would like me and like what I'm doing for Christ in my life and celebrate rather than tolerate you. Ooh, I got to tell you, when it comes to where I've arrived with the Idea Network and the people in the Idea Network and the people that I surround myself with, I've come to a place where I enjoy life like I've never enjoyed life before. I look in the mirror and I'm actually really satisfied and happy with where life is going and the ministry God has given us. And that's not because we're surrounded with yes men. My goodness, Drew and I were just in a board meeting the other day where I was confronted by people who love me that said, hey, maybe you shouldn't have made that decision without consulting us. And I was like, dang, ouch. And I thought about it all night, and they were 100% right. I'm not talking about putting yourself in a situation where you don't have people that confront you. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for the time of adversity, and having a brother willing to confront you when you're wrong, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that you have to pretend to be something else, pretend to be somebody that you're not, and pretend to follow somebody else's set of standards when in reality you don't see it as scriptural. What you need to do perhaps is surround yourself with people that you can let them know who you really are, and they actually like who you really are.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So lastly here, we're going to talk about being judgmental. So what does being judgmental have anything to do with insecurity?
Okay, this is going to seem like the most off-the-wall point, right? Any one of us could have looked at these and be like, overcoming insecurity, first thing he's going to do is spend time with Jesus, and the second thing is something about friendship, right? that's what Josh is going to talk about. Here's the third one, and to me, it's one of the most revolutionary ideas. So if you haven't turned off this episode to this point, here's the payout, all right? Number three, how do you overcome insecurity? Stop being so judgmental. Stop being so judgmental. Like, for your own sake, I'm about to make a case in 2 minutes that if you stop being judgmental, you'll be a much more confident person. So what are you talking about? The most insecure people I know in the world are the most judgmental people I know. How does that work? You say, well, I have a critical eye. Well, I think it's good to have a critical eye, but I think what happens sometimes is you allow your critical eye to travel down into your soul, and you have a critical spirit. And I know this of you because I know it's true of me. It's true of people who demand perfection of themselves. It's true of people who demand perfection of others. And you get to a place where you become extremely judgmental, and I'll give you an example of it. For example, some men are extremely insecure and lack confidence when it comes to their preaching, because every time they hear a sermon from anybody else, all they do is tear it apart. I don't think that should have been stated that way. I don't think it should have been said that way. You know what I would have said? You know another passage that would have said that better? You know what you got to do? And you critique and you critique and you critique and you judge and you judge and you judge. You ignore what the master says. Do not judge lest you be judged. And you have created a neural pathway in your mind of criticism and judgmentalism. And so now what happens? When you get up and preach a sermon, you naturally assume everybody is doing to you what you do to everybody. So you get up and you preach a sermon, and so you lack confidence. You're a little insecure. It's pretty obvious. You're not really confident about what you're saying, a little insecure about what you're going to present. And the reason is because for years, all you've done is judge everybody else's sermons, and now you lack a lot of confidence, and you're insecure about your sermon because you assume everybody does what you do. You walk into a room. You're a little insecure about the way your church looks, a little insecure about the way your ministry functions, a little insecure about the way the philosophies of your ministry, a little insecure about even the decor of your church. Why is that? Why? Could it be possible because you've allowed your critical eye to become a critical spirit, judgmental, so that every time you walk into a church, all you do is you pick it apart? Every time you walk into another ministry, all you do is tear it apart. You see this problem, you see that problem, you see all the different problems, and you see the 100 things they need to do to fix it. And then suddenly, your mind shifts so that suddenly now you begin to think, man, what's wrong with our ministry? And you're overanalyzing everything. You're totally insecure. You know deep down you're a fake, you're a phony, you're a fraud. You're hoping nobody finds out because you assume that everybody else is doing to you what you do to everybody else. That they're judging you, they're criticizing you. You look at somebody physically and you start picking apart. I don't think I like that about them. I don't like what they're wearing there. I don't like their face. I don't like their hair. I don't like the thing that this and maybe this and that. And you criticize and you become an insecure person all of a sudden. You say, why am I so insecure? Because you assume everybody is critiquing and criticizing you the way you're criticizing and critiquing everybody else. You know, it's funny. Some of I might get judged for this. Here we go. I'm going to say something. In a lot of pastoral counseling, I've come to the realization a lot of women are insecure. A lot of women struggle with insecurity. Some of that insecurity has to do with a lot of factors. I think one of the factors that it has to do with is that sometimes women can be highly interested in what other women are wearing and what other people's women's makeup look like and what other women's hair looks like. Could it be possible? Could it be possible that you're assuming that everybody is judging your outfit and eyes and ears and hair the way you've been judging everybody else's? So here's my solution. Here's my thought. At least this is what happens to me. What's happened to me is when I got to the point where I stopped immediately judging everybody else, suddenly I began to think, no, I like them. Man, I like that sermon. What's the good thing in this sermon? Man, that's a great statement. Man, I love that. Ooh, I love the way he said that about that passage. Ooh, look at that church. You know what's really good about that church? What's really good about that church is this, this, and this. You know what's really good about that pastor? That pastor's amazing at this area in his life. And I'm not talking about pretending. I'm talking about deep inside my own soul for my own health, beginning to see the good in every sermon, beginning to see the good in every pastor, beginning to see the good in every deacon, beginning to see the good in every church member, beginning to focus on the beautiful thing about every person. Suddenly, the neural pathways begin to change, and I begin to assume that they think about me what I think about them. And so suddenly, over the last 5 to 7 years in my life, I genuinely have this confidence of who I am as a person and this deep sense of security because I think, of course they like me. I had somebody tell me that. Somebody said to me, Josh, you think everybody likes you? And I stopped and thought about it for a while, and that's what led to this lesson. I thought, yeah, I do actually think most people like me. Why? Because I genuinely, deeply, and without trying to put on airs, I genuinely, deeply like most people. And I think there's something, there's a there. When you get to a place where you can look around and be like, no, man, I like that person, I like everybody. You know what's really cool about you is that you assume everybody is thinking that way about you too. And there, I spend time with the one who likes me. I surround myself with people who like me, and I like other people, so I assume the other people like me. What do you think about that concept?
There's a book I think that you're taking your younger like leadership class through.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a chapter in the book that talks about placing a 10 on everybody's head. And I can't remember what the name of the chapter is. You probably know off the top of your head, but
I think it deals with security. I think it, yeah. I think maybe this is where some of this was developed. It's the book, by the way, is John Maxwell's 21
Indispensable and irrefutable. I always get it mixed up, but it's indispensable.
Indispensable qualities of a leader. Yeah.
But the concept is that it's a choice when you walk into a room or when you fellowship with a friend or an acquaintance, your outlook on them is you're placing a 10 on their head. In other words, like you completely accept them. And it's completely different from looking at it as like, they're probably up to something or they got something underneath the hood that needs to be uncovered or.
Yeah. Or they're not a 10, they're a 4. And I've got 4 ways to help you go from 4 to a 10.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's one concept. The other thing that I kind of thought of is like the most secure people that I know that truly are secure, like they actually are open to feedback and improvement if they truly value your opinion. Yeah. The people who I know that are the most insecure, they avoid and shun any and all attempts to improve them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, because if I'm hearing from you and you're telling me what I need to change is this, then suddenly there's this sense of, man, you've attacked my identity and right. What's wrong with me? And I have to come back and bluster back and demonstrate a false confidence. In reality, what you're doing is demonstrating your insecurity.
So hopefully I love the concept you're talking about of just trying to make sure that, you stop judging people because like it's not worth the long game. So
for your own health, when Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, man, for your own health, let's follow that principle of our Lord and Savior and overcome the insecurity inside of us. Why? Because man, when you are secure, there is a natural confidence, not a false confidence, not a fake putting on, but a true confidence deep down that says, I know Jesus likes me. I'm with him. I know the people around me mostly like me and they speak truth into my life. And I like most people. So let's do this thing. Man, that's a better way to live. It's a better way to live. So maybe that's an idea that might help you today.
So hopefully we've helped in overcoming insecurity. Thanks again for your time and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.